The role of Edith Bunker in the television series All in the Family certainly brought actress Jean Stapleton her biggest audience, but it's her theater credits that take up the most space on her resume. Stapleton's Broadway roles date back to 1953 and include In the Summer House, Damn Yankees, Bells Are Ringing. She's performed in well over 50 plays. The latest, by Rhoda Lerman, is called Eleanor, Her Secret Journey. It's a one-woman show about Eleanor Roosevelt that's playing here in Washington, D.C. The play begins after Franklin Roosevelt has died. President Truman calls. He asks Mrs. Roosevelt to lead the U.S. delegation to the newly formed United Nations.
Oh, yes, Mr. Truman, I was there in 1919. We thought we had fought the war to end all wars. And here we are almost 30 years later, and we're still... Well, yes, of course, you know. Yes, but what makes any of us think that we could forge a permanent peace now, that a United Nations could end war? Well, perhaps I'm jaded. No, there's no need to consider. My public life is quite over. But thank you, Mr. President. Yes.
This phone call sparks a barrage of intimate memories for Eleanor, the pain of her husband's infidelities, a visit to Europe's battlefields at the end of World War I, a conversation with the journalist Henry Adams about the nature of her soul. These recollections make up the bulk of the play and reveal Eleanor Roosevelt's personal and political development. In the final scene, she calls President Truman back and accepts his offer. She will join the American delegation to the UN and chair the Human Rights Commission. One afternoon last week, Jean Stapleton and I sat down together in the back of the theater. Looking at the stage where she becomes Eleanor each evening, she talked about how theater is different from TV and film.
Of course, the theater is completely fulfilling to an actor because you begin at the beginning and you go through it in progression to the end of the play. Whereas, well, except for our series, All in the Family, and other series that do it in front of a live audience, and it's like doing a play. It was like doing a one-act play, and we had all of that wonderful response from the audience. So that was almost theater.
How much did you know about Eleanor Roosevelt before you decided to do this play?
How much did I know? Enough to remember when I was a kid, my dad loving her column My Day and telling us every day what it was all about and driving us crazy in the family. But when I matured and realized the size of this woman's character and compassion, of course, I became familiar. But I only did the deep research when I was assigned a film called Eleanor, First Lady of the World. And then suddenly we have this play years later. We've been all over the country in it. And I find the Washington engagement is the top of the mountain because of the understanding, the savvy, and the history. They bring their sense of history here in this city. And politicism, I suppose. But, of course, Eleanor is beyond politicism now.
Well, you mean because so many different people of different stripe embrace her?
Oh, absolutely, yes. She's beyond politics.
Well, she's become, I guess during her lifetime she was a larger-than-life figure, but, mm-hmm. but after death, you know, she takes on the mantle of history and everything that goes along with it since then, and she's become this legend, this mythic figure.
Yes.
Which makes it might be a little bit daunting to play a character like that, because you have to play her as a real woman.
Absolutely. Well, that saves me, because it would be very boring if I did anything else.
You mean if you played her as an icon?
Yeah. She was a great human being, and that's what you have to do, play the human being.
Fella, where are you? Here, boy, fella, where are you? Oh, you... Dear little dog, you're waiting for Franklin again. How can I tell you? He's gone. He's never coming back. He's dead. Now go on out and play. Go on. That's a good boy. Well, I waited for Franklin all my life, and I know how terrible it feels to wait. No one could tell me he wasn't coming back to me, even though others waited. The love of his life, Daisy Suckley, huh? The love of his life, the crown princess of Norway. The love of his life, Lucy Mercer. Still I waited.
Is it fun to play her? Are there parts of the play
It's very uplifting. If I feel tired during a day and I come to the play and I'm just all up by the end of it. It's very, very inspiring to do it, yes. She did the work of five people, that woman, you know. Amazing energy.
Give me an example of something in the play that particularly moves you or that you think really shows this kind of energy that you describe.
Well, her whole view of war is a very strong part of the play, but it resonates in a way here that we never expected after September 11th. It's true. It's quite amazing. I can feel it in the audience, and I feel it too. It's got a current theme.
Now, I understood that this was war, and it was a thing apart, and it was dead, gone, sinking into the bog, and a new order, a new world would rise like a phoenix from it, revitalized. Even as we drove, the earth seemed to swallow the war. 6-7 million men sucked under, they said, some still near the top. We stopped for thermoses of tea, and Franklin inquired how long it would be before the ground could be planted again. His driver answered rather dramatically, "Oh, it is already planted, monsieur." And was it I who had said that war was passion? The war I saw in the mud had nothing to do with passion.
Jean Stapleton, you found a really meaty role here in Eleanor Roosevelt, but I'm wondering how many such roles there are for women your age.
Oh, yes, well put. Not many. That's why you see, oh my goodness, especially on the screen, you don't see anybody except unless they're sick elderly folk. You know, it's amazing. What about All in the Family? That was a perfect example of variety. All of Norman Lear's shows included the spectrum.
Well, because Archie and Edith were middle-aged, getting on, and they had grown. They had a grown daughter and a grown son-in-law.
And there was Maud and the Jeffersons and so forth.
Do you ever get to see, because All in the Family is in reruns on television, do you ever get to see those episodes?
Yes. I used to, of course, watch them very critically in the old days once, that's all. But now I can look at them objectively, and when I pass by, I stop and I watch and I think, oh, sometimes I didn't remember that episode. And I watch in amazement the excellence of the writing. And I look at Carol O'Connor, and realize how great he was. You know, he was the antithesis of that part in his thinking, the opposite. But he understood that character.
Gloria has been reading a book about women's lib.
Edith, are you listening to this over here? A dreaded disease is infiltrating our home, and your daughter's bringing it in here. I suppose next you'll have you prancing around in hot pants and burning your brassieres.
Oh, no, Archie. I'm afraid of fire.
I've always wondered where the voice for Edith came from. How did
well,
you
I stole that?
That
from myself. because in the musical Damn Yankees, in which I played on Broadway, I adopted that nasality. For the part I played, I had to do something to get laughs.
The Chevy Chase Fan Club is grateful to you, Joe, because you taught us this big lesson. You've gotta have heart!
She, too, was a New Yorker, and I thought back, and I thought, I could steal that. That's how I got that. And it worked. It worked for laughs.
Did people ever come up to you on the street? This, I mean, if it happened, it probably drove you crazy, but would they come up to you and recite lines to you from All in the Family and treat you as if you were Edith?
Well, they would address me as Edith. When it first broke, you know, when the show became such an enormous hit, honestly, truck drivers would yell at me if they saw me walking on the street and call me Edith. Bothered me terribly. And it still happens sometimes, and I just now more kindly correct them and say my name. My name is Jean.
And yet she's such a beloved character. Hmm. In a way, you can understand.
Oh, I get so much affection because of that part. Believe me, I appreciate it fully.
Well, Jean Stapleton, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for talking
Thank
with
you
us.
Thank you very much.
Jean Stapleton. We spoke at Arena Stage in Washington, where she's performing Eleanor, Her Secret Journey. In March, Jean Stapleton will star in The Carpetbagger's Children by Horton Foote at Lincoln Center in New York. And for this evening, that's All Things Considered. John Buckley edits, Steve Lickteig directs, and Walter Ray Watson produces with Devar Ardalan, Annie Wu, Molly Peterson, Tracy Wall, and Alice Winkler. Kitty Isley is the senior editor. Thanks tonight to Arena Stage in Washington, D.C. The technical director is Abdullah King of the Board Rufus. Audio engineers include Kurt Turner, Greg Gavin, Neil Ellis, Sherry Marchevsky, Peter Alina, Paxton Laird, Stuart Grace, and Joe Woods. Our librarians include Key Molesky and Denise Chen. The executive producer for Weekend News is Paul Brown. And I'm Lisa Simeone. Good evening from Weekend All Things Considered and NPR News.